Happy Mother's Day. And I was just telling everyone before that there's a Mother's Day sermon that I like to give on this special day. A sermon that I heard from my pastor 35 years ago and never forgot. Not that I will preach it better than he did, but I have added to it, that's for sure, and thought about it quite often. And the motivating factor for that is that I have been blessed to have a wonderful mother, and I still have her. Amen. So you're going to look up on screen. You'll see, first of all, happy Mother's Day here. Welcome to Cross Point Rialto. And then the title that I've given this, and I think we're going to see something a little bit different than maybe you're used to. If we can move the screen to the next one, is The Mother Heart of Our Heavenly Father. Doesn't that sound kind of a little different, doesn't it? The Mother Heart of Our Heavenly Father. Well, where would I get that from? Well, look at Isaiah 66:13 with me. If you don't mind standing as we show honor to God's word. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit to the prophet Isaiah some 800 years, I believe it was, before the birth of Christ. And Israel was going through some difficult times because of her unfaithfulness. And they were wondering about where God was as they suffered for the decisions they had made to turn their back on him. So embedded in Isaiah, we find this scripture, and I absolutely love it. It says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Not a lot of words, but a lot being said. Amen. Why don't we do this? Before we have a seat, let's pray for the sermon. Let's pray for open hearts, and let's pray for the work of the Holy Spirit to help us to see these truths that we're going to look at today. Father, thank you again for this special Mother's Day. Thank you for this word that we're going to try and understand this morning. And Father, you gave this word to us so that we would see you, that we would see in our mothers a picture of who you are and what you're like. People always ask me as a pastor, well, what's God like and what's God's character like and what are some of his attributes? And so we're going to see that today in motherhood. And what a wonderful way to understand, Father, the blessing of having experienced a good mom and then also, Lord, being able to extend that to understand that you're good. We thank you for that, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So I gave Michael, back in the corner over here, a little paper you can work on, amen, to write down your thoughts as it relates to characteristics that you may have found that you love about your mom. So if you get a chance to fill that out, let me know. I'm letting you know. I'm going to have Michael come pick it up, and he's going to hand them to me in a little bit. In a little bit. Okay? That's going to be an interactive sermon. I'm going to get some feedback from you. You know, if I were smart, I would have had maybe started like a Twitter or something to you guys, like a handle. We do have our Crosspoint Rialto Facebook page, so we'll do that way next time. We'll just go this route. So it's there's a saying that Jewish rabbis were teachers, and they used to say it tongue in cheek. Obviously, it's not true, but then again, we'll understand. They used to say that since God couldn't be everywhere, he created mothers. Now, we know that's not true. God can be everywhere. But you get what I'm saying, right? Sometimes we wonder, where is God? You know, we know he's in heaven. We know that he sent us his Holy Spirit. But I'm saying it tongue in cheek. Sometimes we wonder where God is. Well, guess where he is? He's in your mother. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you'll see. I'm trying to hook you guys into this. So everyone listening here today, everyone in here today has been influenced and impacted by a mother. And I understand that that may be true in a positive way, but it also may be true in a negative way. In other words, there may be some of you, and I have been approached by people over the years as I have taught this and preached this sermon before on Mother's Day, a little bit different today, and they always are different each time, that some of you perhaps did not experience this with your mother. That is a positive relationship. I get that. Do you know anyone that that may be true? You don't have to acknowledge for yourself, right? However, that does not change the fact that maybe in spite of the of that experience, maybe a positive one, not being with your mother, maybe you had that experience with a mother figure. What do I mean by that? Maybe in your life, you may have had a positive mother figure in an aunt, or maybe in a grandma, or maybe a friend, a neighbor, right? Or a teacher, or someone in church, a woman in church. Somewhere in life, you may have had a wonderful experience with a woman who was a mother figure to you. I know that, for instance, I've had that wonderful experience with my own mother, but I've also had that with other women in my life. They've been good mother figures. So I understand what a good mother is, right? And we can't, because someone might say, well, I didn't have a positive relationship with my mom. Or maybe, as one time, those of you that know, I'm a high school teacher on my day job, in my week job. This is my weekend gig, and week evenings assignment, right? One time we handed out some papers to a student early in my career as a teacher, and, hey, take this home to your parents, or take this home to your mom. You just kind of say it. Because I'm thinking through my own experience where I lived, I had a nuclear family. I had both my parents in my life and still do. What a blessing that is. But the young man said, I don't have parents. I live in foster care. And that first time I realized early in my career, thank God, that not everybody has had that wonderful experience, right? I mean, we might as well face the truth if we're going to be able to deal with it. How do we deal with it? We look and we teach young women, young men, to focus on that person who may have been a good mother figure or a good father figure. They're out there. Coaches, I don't know, right? Teachers, aunts, grandmas. So there's no doubt, though, that mothers have a very important role in society, obviously, right? Ephesians 6, it's not going to be up on the screen, but I'll read it to you. I find it interesting that Paul, in the New Testament, says to the church, honor your father, but since it's not Father's Day, we'll just leave that one aside. But then it also goes on to say, honor your mother. Honor your mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. Think about that. It has a promise. My dad must have really been honoring his parents. Well, and his mother, because his father died when he was a year old. Because he's 92 years old. It says it comes with promise. And what's the promise? That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. If you see someone that's older, they must have been really good to their parents and they honored their parents. So mothers deserve honor. So my aim this morning is to honor mothers, motherhood. And by honoring mothers, we glorify Jesus Christ who created mothers, right? And then look at this. Remember at the cross when Jesus, in his final words, he honors his own mother and blessed motherhood in his incarnation as a man when he spoke these words from the cross to John, the Apostle John, in one of the most beautiful acts of final care for Mary, his mother, when he says, John, I put John in there, it just basically says, behold your mother. That's John 19:27. What's one of Jesus' last and final acts is to make sure that his mother was not left abandoned. And he gives charge to the last apostle, John, the youngest of them all. He gives charge to his mother. And I lived in Turkey when my dad was in the Air Force. And we went to Ephesus. And there is a house that they claim to be John's house where Mary last lived in the city of Ephesus. The ruins now. When you go there, you're visiting ruins and columns. But isn't it beautiful that Jesus honors his mother by making sure at his death she's not left destitute and abandoned? Behold, he says to John, your mother. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? So, let me just start from the beginning by saying this. As we look at this passage, it's up on the screen, that it is true, and I'm going to preface this because I think it's important, that God is our Father in heaven, amen? Jesus came into the scene in his birth, and he taught his disciples to pray, saying, our Father which art in heaven. So I want to preface that because there may be a misunderstanding, a potential for some, that maybe people are saying that, well, are you trying to say that God is not our Father? Because it says up here, as one whom his mother comforts. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that our Heavenly Father has the heart of a mother. In this passage, he's saying he will comfort Israel. He will comfort Israel, amen, like or as a mother, like a mother. It's a metaphor. He's comparing the characteristics that are found in a mother to himself, amen? So, also, the Apostle Paul told the Galatians that because they were children, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into their hearts, and they cry what? Abba, Father. Okay, so it's important then as Christians that we understand that we've been given a paternal image, a metaphor that reveals to us who God is. Amen? But this is not a Father's Day message, so I'm going to go on to this up here. But I want to clarify that. So the mother heart of our Heavenly Father, that makes sense? Look at the verse. He comforts. So we can see that our Heavenly Father is like or as a mother. In what way? In how he can comfort us. And how does that happen? Like a mother. Amen. It's beautiful imagery. And it appears that God has chosen to reveal to us and condescend and liken himself to a mother. Right? I said likened. So I think it's important for us to realize then that in his character, that is our Heavenly Father, and in his nature, he is both revealing to us his fatherly attributes as well as his motherly attributes in his treatment of us. He appears to be both paternal and maternal in nature. Amen? I'm just going by what the verse says. That's important because Genesis 1:27 says that he created man in his own image. And then he finishes it saying in Genesis 1:27, in the image of God, he created him. And then it says male and female, he created them, right? Them. So the man and the woman are created in whose image? So whatever good characteristic we find in a mother, whatever that is, whether it be comforting or whatever good characteristic or attribute that we find in a mother, you can find that in God. But you can multiply it infinitely. He's much more than that. Amen? So, Any admirable quality that's found in a mom communicates to us what God's like. So I'm blessed. And if you've had a good mother or a good mother figure or a sister or an aunt, as I said before, if you have had that experience in a relationship with that woman who you call mom or who has been a mother figure to you, then you are blessed, because then you understand and it's communicated to you by experience what God's like. You should say, thank you, Jesus. Because, man, my relationship with my mother has been sweet. There have been a couple times where we butted heads, mainly because of me. And I wouldn't even say it on Mother's Day about her. Right? Nah. So God is not only powerful, God is not only strong and aggressive and masculine in nature, but we see here, as the Lord says to the prophet Isaiah, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. We see then that he also is nourishing and tender and comforting and sensitive to his children as a mother. As a mother. Now, I will say this, because I would be losing a great opportunity to say a little bit about trending perspectives in our country today or in the world. Modern thinking doesn't seem to understand and accept this biblical concept that God created both man and woman in his image, and they want to twist and distort male and female distinctions. We are different. I don't know if you've noticed that lately. We are different. Do not believe the lie. I'll leave it there for a second. Modern thinking. From the beginning, created he male and female. Okay? Just because someone in their quote, and the word is used progressive, I will use regressive as the word, believe that they can turn and they can undo what God has created, believe me, it's not good. And so the roles that we have held traditionally are trying to be refined. So I prefer to agree with God's design and conserve those values. So that makes me a conservative in that sense. Thank you very much. I'm just going to go with what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the truth. And he said the same about Adam and Eve. Amen? So this identity rearrangement is not biblical. It's political. Understand that. Amen? Society is trying to blur reality, diminish the distinctions, notice what I'm saying, and never does the Bible ever speak of one being superior to another. They're complementary. If you know anything about geometry, it's a complementary angle. The two add up to 180, the two angles that complete, if you will, God's creation. When you find in the Bible about marriage, it talks about the two will become one, right? The man will take his wife and she will be his helper. They help each other. No one's talking about here where man is superior to woman. No. They're equal in God's sight as far as value. Priority is different. He's assigned different priorities. That doesn't make her or diminish her value. I'll move on. So, a couple things. I like the word that Isaiah uses for comfort. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. This is the Lord speaking. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So Jehovah has attributes and characteristics as a mother comforts. He will also comfort. That's comforting, isn't it? And when we look at the New Testament, Paul says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, is saying exactly what that's saying. How is our Father? He's compassionate. And the God of all comfort. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Whom comforts us all in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort for which we ourselves have received from God. So when we go through difficulties as Christians, we're able to comfort others with the comfort that God comforted us with. That's maybe one of the reasons God allows us to go through difficulties, so we can learn to be compassionate. But then to tie into the Old Testament, we're seeing it. God the Father is compassionate. You know how the Holy Spirit is described? In John 14, 26? The Comforter. The Holy Spirit is actually defined as the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Matthew 23, 37. Here's a really interesting passage. Jesus, right before he goes to the cross, Jesus, right before he heads to the upper room to celebrate the Passover and take the Lord's Supper and teach his disciples that his body and his blood would be involved in this plan of redemption. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." And look what he says. "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." What does Jesus compare his wanting to comfort or to gather Israel? He compares himself to a mother hen. He's like a mother hen. What does a mother hen do when she wants to gather her children under her wings? Protect them. Amen? I think that's beautiful. So, in light of this, who has the little sheet that I passed out? Can you pass those or bring those to me, Michael? Here's what I'm saying this morning. If you have something good that you experience with your mom, okay? Take that, multiply it infinitely, and you know who God is. Okay? So, oh, thank you. Wow, good one here. So let's use that premise. As a mother, so am I. In this context, comforts. In other contexts, protects. In other contexts, guides, nourishes. The interesting thing is, I think for those of us, I know in my home, if something happened to me or one of my brothers when we were small children, immediately mom runs and goes, "Oh my goodness, come here," and kisses and hugs, and "I want to take care of you." But dad's, he was a little bit different. He goes, "Hey boy, you got this. Shake it off." There's differences. Amen? I kind of prefer mom's way of handling things, you know. "You'll be all right, Bobby. Bobby, everything's going to be good." "Yeah, I know, Mom. Snuggle up in there." Right? That's a blessing. So here's some couple characteristics, and we don't have to have names written, but she was a mother who worshiped God, and was a mother that taught us to believe and love all mankind and each other. She was an amazing mother and woman. What a nice tribute. And let me say that. That's just like how God is, right? Here's another one. I love my mom. Always had a great plate of food ready for me. Oh, yeah. And I also love how she worked so hard for me. Yeah. Provider. Nourisher. Worked. Hey, when I go to work, I'd only do it for one reason. So I have a paycheck to take care of my family. Because I love them. That's why. Oh, why are you out there, you know, stressing it out so much at work? Because there's a return. It's being able to have an income, not for me, for taking care of my family. This is what they're saying. God will always make provision for us, and God always takes, nourishes us spiritually and physically. Another one put, she brought me up reading the Bible, not materialistic, shepherd and striked. Not too sure what that means. Strict, okay, my bad. Strict, oh. You know, being strict and having rules, you know what they're compared to in sociology or in psychology? Fences. If you take there's a study by one of the fathers of psychology where they removed the fence from a daycare center and the children all got full of anxiety because they didn't have that feeling of security and borders and limitations. Rules aren't because you're mean or my mom's strict. Thank God she was strict because that helped you feel secure. You knew up to where you could go. That's the way it is in life. The problem with society today is they don't think there's any lines that we shouldn't cross. Oh, everything's permissible. Well, then you'll destroy a nation. Got to have laws. Got to have rules. The Lord did. That's beautiful. Caring, outspoken, strong and kind. Yeah? I like those moms that tell you how it is. That's what I think you meant. Just tell it like it is. But caring. So you knew she loved you by telling you how it is. And then also strong. Well, yeah, we want a strong mom. We want a kind one, too. As a matter of fact, these are two opposite poles, aren't they? You can be kind and strong at the same time. Everything's dependent on the context. Sometimes you need a mom who's strong, and sometimes you don't need that strong mom. You need a mom who's kind, compassionate. We've got to learn how and distinguish between, based on the context of where we're at and what we're living in the moment. Right? She was very cool and sweet. She'll answer, always be my favorite mom. Very good. Very cool. And sweet. My mother put Jesus first, always telling others about Christ, the good news. She was Christ-centered. And she lived for Jesus. No matter where she was, she shared Jesus. Beautiful. She had Jesus on her heart. Jesus on her mind. I love that she was always seeing the good in us. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? When you have a mom that looks for the good in you, not the bad. I mean, obviously, there's no one here perfect, right? But instead of focusing on the negative, we focus on the positive. Because the only way to grow is through grace. Can't grow when you're disparaging or criticizing all the time. You don't grow. I also love that she was very... caring and always strong for us. Beautiful. How kind she is with everyone. Hard worker and great cook. That one's a good one. Great cook. I love it. Strength, love. I love her cooking, her understanding and loving. Yes. Her understanding. Boy, if there's anyone that understands you, it's mom. They understand you all the way from the time you were in the womb. There's stuff going on in there. Right? Kicking. Moving. I'll leave that one alone. I was going to say something about abortion, but I'm not going to. I think it's obvious. There's a life in there, and a mother will protect that baby. Nourish it, because it's vulnerable, can't defend and protect itself. Don't listen to the lies, church. Do not listen to the lies. When Mary approached Elizabeth after the announcement of her conceiving Christ, it says the baby leapt at the voice of Elizabeth. It leapt at the hearing. The Holy Spirit filled the womb of Mary before he was born. Mothers, I love my mother, positive attitude, and I love how kind she is. Here's one, her laugh. Oh, see, this is really nice too. Her laugh, here's something that's is very personal. Her smile, her eyes. Man, that means that there is a beautiful relationship. You know why? Because a lot of people today don't look you in the eye when you talk to them. I don't know what they're angry about or what they're ashamed of. But there's something unhealthy about someone that doesn't look you in the eye when you talk to them. But there's something very healthy when you have communication and you can talk and look at somebody. And even when you have to say what's difficult to say, you do it with loving eyes. All the time, and when my students won't look at me when I talk, I stop. And I go up to them, I say, I need you to look me in the eye. Because we need to break this cycle of where we are not developing relationships. What else is there? What? Are we just going to have cars and houses and money? Or do we understand the beauty of life is the relationships we have? We were created for God's pleasure, the Bible teaches us. How would he not also want that amongst ourselves? I love this. Laugh, smile, eyes, the way she loves us, and I also love her. So, thank you for your thoughts. When Jesus spoke to Jerusalem, I want to make a note because I mentioned that a minute ago. It was his final expression of trying to get Israel to repent. Again, I'll read it to you. O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together. See what Jesus is doing? He gathers together, not disperses. He doesn't destroy relationships, he builds them. Good mom builds relationships, protects her children because she loves them. But they were not willing. Oh, there's nothing worse than the rebellious child. That's what Israel was, rebellious. And so Jesus was grief-stricken because he was giving them an opportunity, plenty of opportunities, and plenty of times to repent, to turn from their sins. And he made countless invitations to draw them near and to be saved. However, they rejected his offer. Don't reject the love of your mother. And by default, don't reject the love of our Father in heaven who has the heart of a mother. Amen. He wants us to run under his wing and take cover. It's a cruel world without the love and comfort of a mother. Run to your, I'm going to say it because of this, run to your heavenly mother. Last verse, and we'll finish. Just so you understand the context of Isaiah, he says in chapter 49:14, but Zion said, referring to Israel, the Lord has forsaken me and my God has forgotten me. And then the response is, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, that is the children, yet I, the mother, will never forget. See, Israel was complaining that God had forgotten them, and they were accusing him of abandoning them. However, because they went into Babylon, they were taken into exile. However, the opposite is true. God never abandoned Israel. Israel abandoned the Lord. And they were suffering for their decisions. You know, there are consequences for our decisions. But yet, the mother heart of our Heavenly Father says, hey, Can a mother forget her nursing child? No. I will never forget you in spite of the fact that you may forget me. He's saying, Israel, through an Isaiah, pronounced that he would never forget him as a woman would never forget her nursing child. So as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Thank God this Mother's Day for the mother heart of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for showing us your compassion, your protection, your provision, your willingness, Lord, to nurture, to cover us, to be there for us, to be present in our lives, even though sometimes we're not. Thank you for showing us who you are through our moms when they're good to us. Thank you for that sweet, loving, kind, compassionate nature that we have learned and experienced from our moms or from a mother figure, whoever she may be. And help us, Lord, to expand that. Help us, Lord, to multiply that so that we can never say we don't know who you are. Help us to take this truth of the characteristics and the attributes of a good mom and know that's who you are infinitely better. And we can run to you. And you'll receive us and accept us. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here who for some reason or whatever the reason may be, it doesn't really even matter, but if they have heard and seen this morning who you truly are, that they would turn to you. They'll make that decision in their hearts and minds and say, receive me, and you will. And we thank you, Lord, that that's the case. You will always receive us and welcome us. Help us to return. And if we haven't return, help us to do that, we pray, Lord, in our hearts and minds right now. But those of us who are still there, thank you for this wonderful relationship. And thank you for our moms, or those that replaced or took the place of our mom, those women that were mother figures. Thank you, because we can taste and we can experience your goodness through them. And we ask and we pray all these things. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hey, well, God richly bless you. We're going to have, we're not going to have. Okay, so what we're going to do then instead is I would like to take the offering right now. So if I can get a couple of you to help me out. I got Osvaldo and who else? Who else is going to help me out this morning? Ramiro? Okay, we might as well make it a family affair. So we're going to take our offering. What do we do when we take our offering? We're simply expressing the very, kind of, I always look at it two ways. Everything we have, your job, your gifts, your skills, your education, whatever it is you have that helps you to be able to obtain employment or someone pays you for those skills or that knowledge, that comes from God. And so we should be thankful to give back to him, knowing that he will continue to provide, but also knowing where it comes from, so that we may bless this ministry and continue to share the gospel. That's all that is. Anything more or less is not true. Amen? So let's pray for the offering. Thank you, Father. We ask you to bless the giver. And what they give, Lord, we pray that it be used for glorifying and extending your kingdom here on this corner in Rialto. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.